to share with us this morning. Bless him in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Two weeks. Have you actually read the front? It says that we're going to be from Sunday the 31st of March to the 14th of April. So just get comfortable, because I've got a few things to say, apparently, which might take me a wee while. Hope you brought your sandwiches with you, and your family, and everyone else, and whatever else that is required. Okay, we're going to read together from Romans. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to read together from Romans chapter 3, and from verse 21 through to verse 28. If you don't have your Bible with you, then the good news is we have one. Ta-da! Oh, that's really cool, actually. It says that, Holy Bible. And you can read it up there. So let's read together from this passage, Romans 3, 21 through to 28. But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Thanks be to God. This is his word for us today. Let's pray. Father, we want to pray that today you would speak to us and that we would know you clearly, stirring our hearts, stirring our very being, Lord God, with the call you have upon us to hear afresh the good news of Jesus Christ and to respond to what you're saying to us today. So, Lord, we ask, would you come by your Spirit and speak, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm hugely encouraged to hear about, you know, folks coming to faith through Source and people coming to faith in Sozo. And this year is a year where we believe that actually we're going to see the harvest come home. We've seen a number of people coming to faith in this year already, and we're really excited actually about that, and excited about what is going, God is continuing to do amongst us. And today I want us to, in one sense, to focus in on the amazing things that God has called on us to do because of that message that he has given to us, the message of the restoration, the righteousness that we can come to through faith in Jesus Christ that Paul spoke about in that passage. At the start, I want to just remind you of a story that I think many of you will have heard before. It's a story of the start of the Moravian mission movement, okay? And you'll have heard, I'm sure, this story, but I just felt I wanted to kind of just start with this again. So I want to read you this. Two young Moravians, were people who were very much involved in the prayer movement. They prayed for about 100 years. It was a continuous prayer that happened in Herrenhut in Germany. And as part of that prayer movement, what happened was God just did such a deep work in their hearts that they were so consumed by the goodness of God and the love of God that actually they just get scattered through the whole of the world. And it was one of the most incredible experiences and part of it was the start of what would be described as the modern missionary movement. They were the ones that kind of kicked the whole thing off. So two young Moravians heard of an island in the West Indies where an atheist British owner had 2,000 to 3,000 slaves. And the owner had said, no preacher, no clergyman will ever stay on this island. If he shipwrecks here, we will take him and put him in a separate house until he has to leave, for he's never going to talk to any of us about God. I'm through with all of that. 3,000 slaves from the jungles of Africa had been brought to that island in the Atlantic and were there and were going to live and die without hearing of Christ. And so the two young Moravians heard about this and they sold themselves to the British planter. They sold themselves to the British planter as slaves. And as the ship left its pier in the river of Hamburg and was going out to the North Sea, carried with the tide, the Moravians had come from Herrnhut to see them off, and because they realized that they were never going to see them again. And the families were weeping, as you would expect, and because they knew they wouldn't see them again. And they were wondering whether or not what they were doing was right, and they questioned the wisdom of it. And yet, as the boat drifted out, the young boys had seen that the gap widening, and one linked arms with the other and raised his hands and shouted across the gap the last words that they were going to be heard to say, which was, "May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering." A long time ago, I heard that story, and I think probably of all, you know, of all the stories that I've ever heard, it gets me every time that anyone would be willing to do this, that anyone would be willing to sell themselves into slavery, which is what they had to do to actually get onto this island. And what perhaps you didn't know, and what you've perhaps not heard, but I found out recently, I kind of went and researched all of this, was that actually the story of the people coming to faith in Jesus on that island as a result of these boys who'd gone. And the story actually kind of quite quickly, after about 3 or 4 years, there's a report that goes back to Herrnhut that actually that talks about, you know, in the first year, 68 of the African slaves had come to faith in Jesus Christ and had been baptized. And then it talks about how that had actually had an impact on the whole of that slave community, and indeed beyond. And so as a result of their willingness to give themselves in this way, actually not only were the people on that island saved, but actually that was a catalyst. Their willingness to give themselves in that way was a catalyst for the whole of those range of islands in the Caribbean actually coming to faith in Jesus Christ. It's an incredible story of the witness that was willing to be given by those folks, and the sacrifice that they were willing to make for the sake of Jesus. And that last phrase, you know, that the lamb that was slain would receive the full reward of his suffering, is the one that I want to talk to you about today. I want to really focus on that phrase today. And I want to ask the question, what are the rewards of his suffering? What was it that Jesus wanted when he went to the cross and died? What was it that he was looking for on that day? Why was he willing deliberately to go to the cross for us? What was it he wanted? And the answer is always you. The answer is always you. The answer is always you. He went for you. You are his reward. You are the one that he came for. You are the one that he died for. You are the one that he was willingly giving his life for. You are the one. You. What is the reward for the lamb for his suffering? It's you. It's you. The old hymn, "There is a green hill far away," goes like this. "There's a green hill far away outside a city wall where the dear Lord was crucified, who died to save us all. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in." What was the reward for his suffering? It was you. Jesus was the one who was willing to be crucified. He was the one that suffered for us. He was the one that died to take away our sins that we might be forgiven. He was the only one good enough because he had no sin. And so he willingly paid our price. He willingly took our punishment upon himself. He willingly unlocked the gates of heaven. He willingly unlocked the gates of heaven. Who for? You. Who for? You. You are the one that he died for. You are the one that he gave himself for. You are his great reward. You are. So Boyd is right. Today, if you have never given your heart to Jesus, today hear his call. Today hear him speak to your heart and say to you, you are my reward. Come now and be with me. Give your life to Jesus today, for he has paid everything to make it possible for you to enter the gates of heaven, for you to enter into a new and living relationship with Jesus Christ. It is you that he came for, and it is you that he wants today. If you've never done that, it's very simple. You just simply say a short prayer and ask the Lord into your heart. I'm going to do that now. And so if you want to do this in your heart, then just follow along and say amen at the end. Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came that we might find the gates of heaven open, we thank you this day for your love and your care. We accept you, Lord Jesus, as the one who has made it possible for us to know once more our way back to God being open. Lord Jesus, we confess to you our sins. We know that we have rebelled against God. We know that we have turned away from him. We know that we have deliberately walked on our own path. But today, Lord Jesus, we choose you as you first chose us. We accept, Lord Jesus, all that you have done for us, and we take you as our Savior today. Lord Jesus, we invite you now into our hearts and into our life. Come in, Lord Jesus, as Lord and Savior. We want you to come in. We long for you, Lord Jesus, to enter in and give us life and life in all its fullness, life eternal. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and fill us this day. As you enter in, come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, fill our lives, that we may be forever yours. We, Lord Jesus, are your reward. And today, Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to you willingly and freely. Come and do this, we pray, Lord Jesus. For we ask it in your name. Amen. So what is the reward of his inheritance? What is the reward for his suffering, rather? It is you. It is you. But it's also a world awaiting for the good news of Jesus. It is a world that the Moravian brothers that we heard of there were consumed by, willing to give themselves entirely to. It is a world where we know God is working a way to bring about his good and perfect will. Do you know what that is? Do you know what the good and perfect will of God is? It says in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, and listen to this, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That is the good, perfect, and pleasing will of God, that every person would come to a saving knowledge of him. He has made it possible through Jesus Christ, the one who has opened heaven's gates for us to then respond and enter back into that living relationship with him. He has made it possible, and he wants that to happen. That is God's good and best, perfect, pleasing will for us and for our world. Now, does that mean that everyone will? No, because we have free will. We are invited to enter in. We're not forced. God doesn't do that. But what he does do is he wants to make it clear to us that his desire is that everyone should have an opportunity. Everyone should hear the good news. Everyone should not only hear it, but have it demonstrated in front of them so that they would understand and they would be able to see it and they would just get it. And as a result of that, that they'd be able to respond to Jesus. And that is, as I say, why the Moravians went all those years ago. And that's why Peter and Tanya have gone and are in the Middle East just now. And that's why many others of us have gone and done other things as well. And I think that probably the thing that I want to say about this is, it's a very simple thing that I want to say, that I think that there's something on this Easter day that I want to say, which is that the comfortable Christian, gently meandering forward stuff that we have experienced in the church in Scotland is coming to an end. It is coming to an end. We are going to see, all sorts of things happening. Many of them are going to be difficult for us. We too are going to be called to pick up our cross and to follow him. And that will mean suffering. That will mean difficulty. That will mean persecution. That will mean sacrifice. Just as it did for the Moravians. Just as it did for Jesus. Just as it did for the disciples. And just as it has done all through the generations. And there is something quite significant and profound happening in our culture just now, which is that actually that there is a hardening of positions. There's a taking of positions that are moving in different directions. And it's interesting because it used to be that actually we would have sort of had a missionary calling and we would have said, would you go now to the nations? Would you go to wherever it is that God is calling you to the people who have never heard before? But the reality is that the greatest missionary journey that many of us are going to be on over these next years is to cross the street, to go to our neighbors. They are the ones who are the ones who have not heard. They are the ones who have never known and experienced the good news of Jesus Christ. And they are the reward for the suffering of the Lamb. They are the ones for whom he died. And they are the ones for whom, and Peter, God's good, loving, and perfect will is made plain to us. And that is that he wants us to give ourselves for them. And so as we think today about this amazing message, about these things that people have done, and about what God has done for us, and about the good news that we carry, and we ask the question, what is the reward for his suffering? We answer it simply by saying, we are, you and I, those who have heard, those who have responded, those who understand. But we answer it also by saying, they are. They are the ones who live in the houses next door, the ones who live in the houses and the tenements and the closes that we can see out these windows. They are. They are the ones that God has called us to go to. And so in the same way that I want to encourage people to say, today if you hear God's call to come to a living faith in him, then respond, and we've prayed about that. I want to say, today, do you hear God's call once more? To take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make it your life's work, that you would bring to Jesus the full reward for his suffering. For that is the call that God has placed upon us. That is what he speaks to us this Easter day, that he died and rose again to break the power of death and death's domain. He died and rose again so that the power of God would be released in this world to bring a rebellious people back into a loving relationship with Jesus, and that he would do that through us. So do you hear the call once more? Do you understand that this is our life's work? Everything else, all the other things that we do, are to be marshaled towards this great end. Everything that we have, every gift that we have, every ability that we have our time, our effort, our all. God is saying, will you once again hear the call to lay down your lives and to pick up your cross and to follow me and to give your life for this work, to give your life so that Jesus would receive the full reward for his suffering? Do you hear him speaking today? Do you hear the call of God once more? Simple things, but absolutely at the very heart of what God speaks to us. So let's be quiet and let's pray. So Father, we just ask that you would come, speak to us by your word, speak to us, we pray. Jesus, once again, we say, we are yours, bought and paid for. We are yours. We surrender everything to you, Lord Jesus. Once more, we give it all to you. Once again, we set our hearts and minds on the life work of bringing the full reward for your suffering to you. On the day when we stand before you in glory and we give account for what we have done with our lives, today, Lord Jesus, we want to remember today as being the day where we put aside everything else, everything that distracts, everything that was just a false part of, you know, of life, which we thought was significant, but actually has proven to be just smoke and, you know, no substance at all. We give ourselves to you. We surrender to you. We turn our hearts once more to you. We give ourselves once more to you. We say, God, take us. And do with us as you wish. We're willing, Lord. We're willing, Lord. I'm willing, Lord. That's what we say. I am willing, Lord. We will not turn away, Lord. We will not give up. We will not hold back. We give ourselves for the front line. We give ourselves for the whole of the journey. We give ourselves entirely to you. We are your reward. And we willingly give ourselves that you may receive the fullness of that reward. And as we say that, Lord God, we know our frailty, we know our past, we know our weaknesses, we know our fears and anxieties. We know, Lord, how we have said these things to you in the past. And we haven't matched up with the promise. And Lord, we just want to say we're sorry for that. And we ask for your forgiveness. And once again, once again we say, take us, Lord Jesus. Take us as we are, broken and frail. Take us, Lord Jesus, and use us for your work. Take us, Lord Jesus. We are your army. We ask that you draw us now into line, into order, that you would equip us and enable us and release us to do all that you've called us to do. So, Lord God, have your way.